So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Listen, I want to read you something tonight other than just the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. But I want to read you something that came in that blessed my heart. I just got to find it now because I hadn't planned on doing it. Now I got it. I want you to know, you know, last week I preached on why does the devil hate me so much? Last Sunday morning. Man, God moved, God touched. I want you to understand that the enemy is out to stop you. Because if he can stop you, you are us. Did you hear that? You are us. So what he really wants to stop is the church. But in order to stop the church, he's got to stop people. In order to stop the people, he's got to stop families and individuals. And so I've been saying for a while that I feel something stirring. I got this message this morning. It said, "Good morning, Pastor. I'm a pastor of a church in North Carolina. I have to share this with you. First of all, I don't know this guy. He Facebooked me last night or something, and I said yes. So this morning, here's what he wrote. He said, "I have to share this with you. About a year ago, God began to deal with me heavily about, quote unquote, the river. I prayed and prayed about it. God said he was going to pour out his spirit and the river would flow. This has been in my spirit for over a year now. Then about 6 months ago, I had a dream of a church. I did not see the inside, but I saw the outside in the dream. In the dream, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on this house, and gifts and ministries will flow from here. Fast forward to last night. I follow Tommy Bates, Pastor Tommy Bates, and he shared your revival on Facebook. And I felt led to look up your church, and as soon as I Googled it, the picture of your church popped up. It was the church that I saw in my dream. And then I clicked the name, the river, the Crystal River Church of God. He said, I shouted right there in my living room, I don't know what's coming to your church, but Pastor, if it's going to be great, it's going to be greater than anything you've ever seen. And the Spirit is going to be poured out. God bless you as I continually to pray for God, what God is going to do in your church. Come on, somebody. Amen. I believe it. So you just hang on. You just keep pressing on and hanging on and pushing forward. Now, I'm going to start a sermon tonight, a message called Blind Christians. And I'm going to deal with this subject matter for probably a couple of weeks. Because I looked and I had several pages of notes, but I'm only going to give you a few pages today, tonight. And I got done because it's been about a month since I've had a day off. So I really was pressing today I wanted to get my message for Sunday together so I could take possibly Friday off and be off. So I was pushing in, and man, this afternoon, God put a message in my spirit for Sunday morning. I love it when he does it this way. But it messes with me when he does it on Wednesday night. Because I kind of want to preach that message. But I know it's for Wednesday night or for Sunday morning. And I'm going to tell you the title of my Sunday morning message already. Because you need to invite some folks who need to be here. And I'm simply entitling it, victimhood is not my hood. Victimhood is not my hood. I believe that there are people that are being a victim and can't get over it and can't get through it. But I'm believing, I'm going to fast some between now and then. And I invite you to join me, whether it's a meal or whether it's now till then. Pastor, are you fasting till then? No. But I'm going to fast some from here to then. But I'm believing that God is going to bring some people here who need to hear the word. And that they're going to get out of that victimhood. And it's not going to be their hood anymore. Come on, somebody. Amen. But let me talk to you about blind Christians tonight. If at all possible, come be with us tomorrow at 12. If you have a lunch break and you can get there. Listen, don't sneak out of work. That's not biblical. So don't sneak out. Just, you know, if you have a lunch hour, you can come be with us. Then do. If not, like Pastor Justin said, just pray. And, you know, at 12 o'clock. Some of you wasn't here Sunday morning, but and I do apologize for all the 8:30 people because I just completely forgot, to be honest with you. But I announced Sunday that Pastor Justin and Danielle are our new executive pastors. They've come on staff with us, and so come on, give them a hand, and we're excited about that. We're more excited about having Danielle than we are Justin, but anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so be a part of that. I know that the Riders of the Fog are meeting here tomorrow at 11, and they're going to ride the motorcycles over there. Now, I'm torn because I got to be there, but I want to ride my motorcycle. But if I just rode my motorcycle from here to there, I'd be mad. But anyway, yeah, so that's why y'all going to do some more riding. I know. Amen. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the Bible, Isaiah 61:1. How many enjoyed Tommy Bates the last couple of nights? Amen. He says, good, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Well, I can't play like him or sing like him, but I'm going to do what I can. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Then I want you to go find Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Amen, amen, amen. Isaiah 61 says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to the prisoners. Hallelujah. One translation says, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says, this is Jesus was quoting, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. Again, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, is what one translation said. Thank you, musicians. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I was one of those that you sent your word and delivered. I was one of those that you sent your spirit and your presence, and it delivered me and caused me to be who I am and what I am. So I give you thanks and I give you praise and I give you glory. That, Lord, you opened up the prison doors of my life and of my eyes. I once was blind, but now I see. I give you thanks in your name. Amen and amen. If we were to identify one of the number one enemy in every Christian life, it would be blindness. That we have become blind to what God wants to do in our lives. Now, some of us don't know what God wants to do because we haven't read His Word. Some of us have read His Word, but because of the way that we feel and the way that we think that God won't do it for us. It's just for a select few. Whatever it may, whatever your reason is, it is still blindness. And this type of darkness is the foundational issue behind most of the problems in our lives, because it's the greatest bondage a born again believer can face. Because being blind to the gospel of grace can be compared to physically blind. And when we are physically blind, you can't do what some other folks can do. And some of us are looking at Christians who are living the best life they can. Come on. And we wonder why we can't live and have joy like some of them. And it's not because you can't. You just don't know that you can, or you are blind to it. Because if you are blind, we are subject to our natural fleshly senses to guide us in life. And it's a hard sell, and I hate to use that word, but it's a hard sell to begin to operate from the Word of God than it is the way I feel. And the problem is we serve God based on how I feel and not by what the Word of God says. Not by the grace of Jesus Christ. All right? So we're blind by it. So we will, if you are guided by your senses, then we will be controlled by our emotions, by our doubts, by our fears, and muffled the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Grace is the antidote for this blindness. Grace. Grace, point one, if you're taking notes, grace brings healing, restoration, deliverance, knowledge, and spiritual insight. Now, we've got to operate in a different paradigm. We've got to operate in something different. Now, in Jesus' message of preaching the gospel, healing the brokenhearted, restoring sight to the blind, and delivering the captives, Jesus said in the New Testament almost the same exact thing as Isaiah said in the Old Testament. The opening of the prison is a Hebrew meaning, the opening of the eyes of those who are bound. So we've got to have our eyes open to what Christ has for us. You know, if you always keep choosing the same thing because you don't know any better, or you're unable to see your options. You know, we eat, our staff and I eat a lot of meals at El Ranchito. And usually I eat a lot there because it's El Ranchito. All right, so I eat a lot of meals there. And when I first started going there, I would go there to, I would also practice my Spanish. Because I could order in Spanish and te quiero. And I'd say, te quiero 11 sin vegetales, chili con carne. And so that's, I would practice. I know y'all laughing at me over there, but I was practicing, see. And my Spanish folks are laughing at me. But that's what I would do to how was it? Was that good, all right, Dallas? All right, so I would, that's the way I would order. But now it's come to the point where I can't order. Because I walk in and my man goes, he knows what I want. And then we were sitting at a lunch with the staff the other day and somebody had something and I go, what is that? And they go, well, it's taquitos. And I go, I've not seen this taquitos. And I kept ordering the same thing, but I wouldn't even look at the menu. So I didn't even know what else is available because it's been years since I looked at the menu. Because I get the same thing every time. Because I'm a picky eater, but I love what I like. Amen. I'm kind of a one dish kind of guy, if you know what I mean. And I love my dish. Come on, somebody. Yeah. All right, so, but the phrase refers to a spiritual concept, and it means opening up of our understanding. And some of us can't get past other choices because we keep making the same choice every time in our life, and it leads us into a path that we don't want to go. Because see, but you've got to recognize that the grace of God is bigger than your past. The grace of God is bigger than your issue. And the gospel is the good news about God's grace. See, when you talk to somebody about Jesus, you can't tell them that they can earn it. You nor I do my best to live right. But I can't live holy enough without the grace of God on my life. You can't live holy enough without the grace of God on your life. So you've got to recognize that it is what Jesus Christ has done for you. Acts chapter 20 verse 24 says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received in the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of God." Galatians, same author, said this, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." And so some of us are trying to get there on our own merit, and you can't do it. That doesn't mean that you don't live right. Are you catching with me? Are you tracking with me? The captives referred to in Isaiah 61 and 1 and Luke 4, 18 were bound by the law that said that they were neither righteous nor accepted. That's what they were bound by. And some of us cannot accept what Christ has done for us because we're bound by what other people have said about us. That we are bound by what they have said to us. We are bound, and we said, and so therefore we cannot accept forgiveness. We cannot get out of our own way. Now hear me closely. I'm not saying that you ask God to forgive you and you keep living in a sinful lifestyle. It's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that you need to have your eyes open to the fact that Christ can help you, and not only can he, must help you if you're going to make it to heaven, because you can't do it on your own. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you right now. The gospel that was preached was the good tidings, was God's grace. And this allowed them to see the truth that they could not see before. See, grace is the antidote to this blindness that keeps us from seeing ourselves as righteous. You ever, maybe you don't struggle with that, but a lot of us do. How can God love me? How could God do anything for me? How could God, you know, help my marriage? How could God help me? How could God cause me to not be depressed? How can God? How can? Well, he does that through grace. How can I forgive those who've hurt me? It's by the grace of God. You have to do it in him, through him. That doesn't mean that you forgave one time and you don't ever have to go through that again. There are sometimes I have to fight to forgive some people. Come on, somebody. See, we respond differently to the gospel when we cannot see or understand it. When you can't understand the gospel, you respond differently to it. Let me go one step further. Blind people have to navigate by feel and touch. So therefore, if you wake up one morning and don't feel saved, you ever did that? Man, I sometimes wake up, don't feel saved. You know, you get up on the wrong side of the bed, whatever you want to call it. You know, you just don't feel saved. But that's when you got to know beyond what you feel. Because you cannot navigate by what you feel. You cannot, you know, for Christians who are blind, they have to navigate by their other senses, by what they feel, by what, you know, if you ask if something is beautiful to a blind person, they have to feel to see whether or not that's pretty or not. And they have to imagine in their mind what it's looking like because they can't see. You know, if it's hot, you have to feel, oh, that's hot. You have to feel. And that we've got too many Christians who are trying to feel their way to heaven. And so we come to church and the worship is high and we're like, yes, I'm saved. But when the music stops, no, I'm not. We come to church and the Holy Spirit starts moving and I believe and we ought to want it to move. And we get into His presence and it surely does solidify, yes, I am saved. Yes, I'm going to make it to heaven. But then when you go home, that feeling is gone. So therefore you feel like you're lost. Or you lost what you had. Or you lost what you got at church. That's why so many people will have an experience at church, but then go home and not believe what they experienced at church. Because they're blind. We don't walk by sight, but by faith. Right? We don't walk by faith. You know, how many in this room feel saved every day of your life? Yeah. Not too many of us. Sometimes you wonder, ooh. Especially, you know, if you was quote unquote bad the day before. You know, I'm telling you what. You know, it's sometimes serving God is like this weight thing. I mean, I was bad the other day. I ate some ice cream. I went to Twisty Treat. Ooh, got me a peanut butter and peanut butter cup, chocolate twirl. Said, you want the medium one? I said, no, look at me. I want the large. They better be glad they ain't got the extra, super size. Come on. And I ate that thing, and I like, so I get on the scale, like, Lord, I know. Shut up. Come on. I might have me another one. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? And then you know, you eat right. You eat what these people call clean. Psh, way overrated. But they eat clean. And then I get on the scale. I suffered for no reason. Are you kidding me? I passed the Twisty Treat and didn't get one? You a liar. You know, but that's the way some of us feel in Jesus, right? You work all the weekend, man. And again, thank everybody who worked and made Easter such a success. And, you know, you worked, man, you worked. And the next day you feel like, oh, God, I'm getting too old to do this. Well, you ought to preach three times on Easter. Buddy of mine preached eight times on Easter. I don't know how he did it. I'd have somebody propping me up. But anyway, maybe you don't preach like me. I don't know. But the reality is we do that with Jesus, right? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I stopped and helped a little old lady today. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, the Saturday before Easter, I told the staff this story. The Saturday before Easter, I went to get my family some pizza because we were eating clean. And extra cheese. Anyway. So when I turned to go back home, there was this guy waving me down. He said, oh, could you give us a jump? Yeah, man, no problem. So I pulled in. Wouldn't crank. Man, I tell you, I wish I had this tool. Now, I don't know how to use them, but I got a lot of tools. I go, I got that tool. Let me take the food to my family, and I'll bring you back that tool. All right, man. He knew I wasn't coming back. I go, no, really, man, I'm coming back. All right. So long story short, I got there at about 6:10, and I left them at 11:20. I'm thinking, I got to be at the church at 5 in the morning. I'm tired. I planned on trying to get me a good nap. And Lord Jesus. And then, like, you know, but man, you get up on Sunday morning. I helped them people. What'd you do? I held the flashlight. And they used my tools, but they got it running. Amen. But that's the way we do with Jesus, right? We do a good deed, we feel saved. Now, listen to me. Christians ought to do good deeds. That's part of it. Christians ought to live right. However, that's not the only litmus test of your salvation. Thank God. Because I've seen some of y'all. Y'all don't live sweet. Point number two is this. Our level of spiritual knowledge determines how we respond to situations. Come on. See, basically this is what my mama used to say. You know better. And some of us don't want to learn better, so we don't know better. Some of us don't want to know better, so that way it's not kept to our charge. Right? But our level of spiritual knowledge determines how we respond to a situation. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a story there of the prophet Elisha. And he had a servant there, and the servant came in and woke up or got Elisha and said, "Hey, Elisha, there are enemies all around us." And Elisha come out and looked around and go, "Yeah, they are. I will be all right." And he went back in his tent. And the servant said, "Don't you see that we are surrounded?" And then he said, "Didn't you see that there are more with us than against us?" And Gehazi, the servant, said, "No, I really didn't see that." So Elisha, the Bible said, let me see if I can grab it real quick. So he prayed. Here's what he said. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and the chariots of fire round about Elisha. See, that's what getting your eyes open will do for you. You'll see that you're not downcast, that you're not the tail, but you're the head. You'll round up that you might not feel like you're blessed, but I'm blessed not because of what I feel, not because of what I see, but because of what I know. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. Elisha was not spiritually blind. He saw things his servant could not see at first and understood things that his servant could not comprehend. That's why we need to have our eyes open. Because we can see things. You can see danger coming. Come on, somebody. You ain't got to respond every time. When we are spiritually blind, we respond in fear. This is what the servant's initial responded, how he initially responded. How we respond depends on the level of our spiritual understanding. When you understand that this is a fight. You know, I always ask the Lord a couple of questions. When I'm in a battle, I ask the Lord, "Lord, is this my doing?" We don't like to talk about that. "No, this ain't my doing. I didn't do anything to deserve this." Isn't it amazing that we only use that when we're going through a battle, but when you're blessed and, man, things are going, you never go, "I didn't do anything to have these blessings, Lord." No, you walk around, "I deserve this. It's about time." Right? But I asked the question, did I do something to cause it? And you got to be real with yourself. Did I do something to cause this? And then two, am I in a spiritual battle, or is it because I didn't listen to you and you're trying to push me somewhere? Oh, come on now. That's strong right there. Because sometimes we don't get revelation, we get situation. So God, are you trying to push me to do something? You know, when I was at our first church, and this is only my second church, but when we were at our first church, we went through this huge battle, one of the biggest battles I'd ever been through. And, well, we did it when we built this church, and I asked the same question. God, is this a fight, or are you trying to tell me you're done with me here? Both of those occasions, God said, "It's a fight." And I go, "Well, all right then. Let's rumble, baby." Now, then about a year and a half, 2 years after that fight at my first church, I started feeling something. Everything was going great, but in my spirit, something began to churn. And I said, "God, did I do something?" And he said, "No, I'm just done with you here." And that's when I left that church and came to this one 25 years ago. So Proverbs 4 and 7 says this: in all you're getting, get understanding. In all that you try to get understanding, get wisdom. Because if we do not reach for understanding, then we will remain blind. If we try to lead others who are blind, we're going to lead them in a ditch. Right? Have you ever tried to lead somebody that you didn't know where you were going? I've been on that trip. And that's a trip, bro. I was in Uruguay and we were following somebody and we were in Uruguay I said, do they know where they're going? Because we kept running around in circles. I said, I don't live in Uruguay, but I know we passed that building 3 times. And then when we finally got to where we were going, they said, what happened? And the guy who was leading us said, well, I kind of forgot where we were going. Well, I knew it because my eyes were open. Right? But if I'd have been blind, you know what? I was on the trip again in Uruguay. And the overseer and my translator was up front, and they were carrying on a conversation. Well, I don't speak Spanish, so they were carrying on a conversation. I was reading a book for 5 hours. Every once in a while, they say, Pastor Ronnie, you okay? I'm good. Amen. I got 3 pages of that book read. I told you I was a slow reader. No, I got a bit more. But anyway, when we finally wound up where we stopped, I had no idea where we were. And if something would have happened to them, I could not have got us back. Because I wasn't paying attention to where we were going. That's the blind leading the blind. And there are so many people that, you know, that there are immature Christians trying to disciple Christians. And you got babies having babies, figuratively and literally, and wonder why everybody's all messed up. Because you got people who've been through 27 divorces trying to teach on marriage. You got folks who ain't had a healthy relationship in their life trying to talk about healthy relationships, right? You got preachers who won't live right but trying to preach. Hopefully not in this church. Look at myself, come on. The devil doesn't want you to understand. The devil doesn't want you to experience the grace of God, the mercy of God. He doesn't want you to experience God. Unbelievers, as well as Christians, are subject to attacks. You ever think about, well, I thought I was a Christian. Why am I being attacked? Well, if it rains, you're still going to get wet. Doesn't matter. If you don't check your gasoline gauge, you're going to run out of gas. Satan tries to tie us down, tries to tie us to our past. The past is gone, and we've got to move and invest into our future. Paul wrote this, that we forget what is behind, and we strain toward that which is ahead of us. Jesus came to free us from the prison of ignorance. The devil wants you to remain ignorant. If you had money in the bank and you didn't know you had it, that's ignorance, right? If you had money but you didn't know how to access it, that's ignorance, right? There are things of God that we can access, but we're not learning how to access that, and so we remain spiritually ignorant of what God says we can have. So we walk around. We walk around with money in the bank, supposedly, but yet still living in a poverty mentality. I'm broke, but you got money in the bank, right? Or like the little old lady who froze to death, but she had almost $700,000 stuffed in her mattress. She slept well at night. Until she didn't. Does that make sense to you? That's what we're doing, man. We're walking around as Christians, blind to what God says that we can have. And we're not accessing that. And so therefore, that's why we walk around so frustrated. And that's why we're so up and down. And you come to church one Sunday and you, glory to God. And you come to next, because you don't know what you have. You have God at your disposal. Number three is this. Jesus opens our spiritual eyes so that we no longer are blind to the truth. See, the devil wants to keep you blind. He wants to keep you in bondage. And it's easier to control or trick someone who is blind. It's easier. That's what happened with Jacob when he went into his son Isaac. Isaac. When he went into his son Isaac, or his father Isaac, he put on hair because his eyes were dim. And he said, "Yes, I am Esau." He said, "Let me feel you. Let me feel your arm, because I want to make sure what I'm doing is right." See, feeling will lead you astray, man. Oh. And so therefore, Isaac got the blessing Jacob got the blessing because Isaac used feeling to give it. See, this is totally different than what God wants us to have. And it's totally different than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus will guide you into truth. Jesus wants you to have. Man, you know, there everything that he has available to you and for you, he wants you to have. He's not like just meeting it out, you know, just giving you a little bit and a little bit and just to trickle you along. He's not a carrot God. Jesus wants you to learn how to act and behave in the promised land. Now I want that to sink in. Because I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I know some of you have been locked up. And when you're in jail, you act differently. You eat differently. You eat like this, keeping everybody's hands out of your food, right? You act differently. And there are some people, even after they get out of jail, they've been in it so long that they are institutionalized. And they can't function outside because there's nobody telling them when to get up, when to go to bed, when to go to the bathroom, when to take a shower, blah, 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 blah. And so they can't function. And there are so many Christians that you've lived so long under bondage that you have not the ability as of yet to operate in the promised land that God has given you. But the devil is a liar. You need to begin to understand that God has given me a new understanding. God is going to open up my eyes. He's come to open the doors of the prisoners so that I can see and so that I can understand, so I don't have to walk around like a second-class citizen or somebody who's just thankful to be here, but I can walk around because he died for my sin. He died so that I might live, and I'm going to live my life to the best of not only my ability, but because of what God has done. Does that make sense to you? Come on, give God praise. All right. You got to have this relationship with God. Listen, let me give you a funny example, but truth. When I dated Sherry, my wife, which she's not here, one of my daughter's good friends had to be rushed to the hospital, so she went there to be with them. Matter of fact, it's Mariah, and we don't know exactly what's going on yet, but we're figuring it out. So when I was dating my wife, I had never dated a Christian. Wait a minute. I thought you was a preacher's kid. Yeah. And so I remember when Sherry, I didn't know it at the time, but she fell in love with me the weekend. I don't know. But she hugged me, and I didn't know where to put my hand. When you understand? Because if you date a hoe, she ain't here, I can say it. You can put your hand wherever you want to. But when you date a lady, They will do what my mama used to call slap your jaws. So I'd never dated a Christian. So I'm like, because I was driving and she went to hug me. And I was saved, but I ain't dated nobody. I ain't dated no Christian yet. And I made sure my hand was way away from anything that I didn't need to be touching. And just put, I said, I'm just going to rest my arm here. Is that okay? Is that acceptable? And she said, yeah, that's good. And so I drove, I don't know how far I drove, but I drove with my hand straight out like this. I had to learn how to live in a new, in the promised land. And some of us get saved and you don't learn how to live in the promised land. Anybody ever moved into a new house and get up in the middle of the night and forget where the bathroom is? And you just run to the closet and just, nah. My wife's brother did that. Yeah, I just told on you, Ricky. When he was a kid, he was half asleep. But what I'm saying is, if you're saved, learn how to live in a new place in the promised land. Learn how to live. Well, I don't need to learn. Yeah, you do. I don't need to learn. Yes, you do. Because you don't operate in the same way. You know, I'm going to tell this when I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. All right. At the age of 18 years of age, they promoted me. I graduated that night, but before that night, my boss called me to come into work. And I said, I'm not working, bro. I said, I'm graduating tonight from high school. He goes, just shut up and get in here. I go, I'm not working. You're not going to work. I just needed you to come to a meeting. So I went into the meeting, and there, when I walked in, there were supervisors everywhere, not everywhere, but three or four supervisors in. Long story short, they promoted me that night to the assistant manager of this grocery store. We were part of a chain. And so anyway, because I had went on my days off and learned how to do everything, and just because I wanted to be valuable. If you want to be valuable to your organization, learn everything you can. And when nobody else knows how to do it, I can do that. Come on, somebody. Anyway, let me move on. That's just practical stuff right there, guys. All right. So they promoted me. Well, I had the next day off because I graduated that night. And the next day I came in as the assistant manager. I skipped dairy. I skipped produce. I skipped meat. I knew how to do it all, but I skipped all of that. Went straight to the assistant manager. And so the next day when I walked in, this was 30 years ago, over 30 years ago. And so if they needed a manager, it was two rings. It would go through the intercom. So I'm in the back, and I hear, bring, bring. And I didn't go, I wonder who they need. Surely they're not calling for me. No, it went, bring, bring. I come around the corner. Everybody starts busting out laughing. And I go, check my zipper, you know. Everybody busts out laughing. And they started saying, I told y'all he would come. He knows who he is. Some of you need to know who you are in God. You're not a second class, baby. For some of y'all, there's a ring, ring going on and God's calling you up. God's calling you to stand up and know who you are in Jesus and quit living like a second-class citizen, like you don't belong here. I belong here, not because of what I've done, but because of what he did. Amen, 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 amen. Principles. Let me give you this and I'm done. Let me give you this. Principles without Jesus will eventually fail us. What do you mean? People give you, well, just live by this principle. Well, principles without Jesus will eventually fail you. We must heed Jesus' warning that life does not consist in the abundance of possession. Life consists of the people with whom we live it with. So don't replace discipleship with leadership. Don't replace the supernatural with the superficial. Don't replace the presence for a program. Don't trade preaching for just communication. And the environment can be orchestrated, but the presence of God has to be invited. Born again. Being born again but staying blind is the tragedy. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, yet we remain unaware of what He has done for us, we will not understand the impact of our lives. I want to impact my sphere of my world for the positive. Would you stand to your feet tonight?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.